have your Bible with us today, if you'd turn with us over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 127. The book of Psalms, chapter number 127. Well, we had a great camp meeting in Gadsden this week. I appreciate the Lord meeting with us and helping us. And you pray for us. We'll be preaching five nights next week in the Carolinas, and I sure do need my home church to pray for me. Amen. If you'd pray for me this week, would you uplift your hand? I'd appreciate you to do that for me. Thank you so much. And we're going to start reading this morning. We have set aside this very important time as our children's dedication morning. And I want to start in Psalms 127 and give you the gist of the sermon today. The word is, except the Lord build the house, then thy labor's in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to set up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy or blessed. He's not always happy, I can tell you that. Come on now, help me right there. He ain't always happy. Happiness comes in happenings. But the Bible says that word is blessed. Blessed is the man, so true, that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together in the house of the Lord. Lord, I ask you today, as humble as I know how, to ask you to help me preach this morning. Lord, I'm weak in body and tired in spirit, and I know you can help me, and I want to be a blessing to the people this morning. Would you help me to do that? Would you set an angel of watch about me? God, that I wouldn't say anything that you wouldn't be pleased with. Help us today now. Speak to hearts of people. And we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach on the subject this morning where the Lord said, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And I want to preach on save the children. Save the children. I'm grateful today that we have many children in our church. I go and I preach in many places that don't have many children. And, you know, it saddens my heart as I ride by the road today and I see children scattered every place. And nobody will bring them to the house of God. They would come and they'd get used to being here and they would enjoy it if somebody would just bring them to the house of God. I want to say that I appreciate a mom and daddy that brought me to the house of God. And not only brought me to the house of God, but they lived his ways in front of me in my life at my home. And it's been very impactful. And now, by way of outline, I want to share with you four thoughts from this text today. I want to say, first of all, there's a declaration. And then there's a proclamation. There is an illustration. And then lastly, there can be a celebration. And you'll notice, first of all, of declaration, verses 1 and 2, except the Lord. You'll notice in your Bible, it's highlighted and it's capitalized. It's there for a reason, because it's really making precedence upon this word, except. It's inserted in the King James Bible because God wanted it there and it needs to be there. He's letting you know that except the Lord build the house, thy labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now here, as David is writing and Solomon is writing, that they have made a great fortress around Jerusalem. David had brought things for the temple, and Solomon had built this temple, a house that has never been done or has never been copied since. He built a magnificent building for the name of the Lord. They had a great fence, a fortress around this city, and there Jerusalem was being attacked by Syria. They need to learn just to leave Syria alone. They've been killing people ever since before the Lord was born. And so the best thing we can do is guard our borders and our boundaries and set watchmen and let the Lord see about it. Amen. And the greatest day of America is if we'll just get on Israel's side, then the Lord will be on our side. And so therefore we see this, except the Lord build the house. Now, there's a great declaration. In verse 1, you'll notice that if the Lord don't do it, then your working is in vain. He said simply that, except the Lord build the house, thy labor is in vain. Mom and Daddy, you can work your fingers to the bone, but if the Lord is not the Lord of your house, it's not going to amount to much. You know, I've noticed this is a big difference working with the Lord and for the Lord than without the Lord. Things go a lot easier. As Brother Randy preached about that power saw the other Wednesday night, it's a lot easier when that chain is sharp and it's full of oil and full of gas. Somebody say amen. It cuts a lot easier. And if the Lord's on your side, you'll never go wrong. And so I'm going to tell you, without the Lord, our work is in vain. We can build all the pretty buildings in Carroll County. We can field the dirt fields full of asphalt. But you hear me and hear me well. Our work is in vain except the Lord build the house. And it's not really about your opinion or my opinion. It's about what thus saith the Word of God. I've had to take stances this week against families just because of the Word of God. But by God's grace, I ain't a buckling, I ain't a faltering, and I ain't a bowing down. This Bible's going to stand when the last things that's done stood. I appreciate how Brother Jake preached at the Brotherhood there on Friday night, and how important that this Word of God is to stand upon. Now, you'll notice this thing of declaration, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house, not only our working is in vain, but our watching is in vain. He said, now watch this right here. He said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. He said, let me tell you, if the Lord ain't protecting you, you ain't got enough cannons or military to protect you, honey. You load every shotgun in your house, and if it ain't the God of this Bible protecting your home, intruders will come in and get what you got. I wish America could realize, yes, we need a great military. Yes, we need a fortress, but honey, if the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not on our side, then you'll be on the losing side. He said, your work's in vain and your watch is in vain. I could save our president a lot of money if he'd just listen to no country preacher. Let the Lord build it. Let the Lord build it. Let the Lord build it. And so there's a declaration. Your work's in vain. Your watch is in vain. He said, you can set up, put watchmen on every gate. And what happened, Solomon designated watchmen out of towers. But all of a sudden, they seen an Assyrian army coming in that doubled and tripled them. And he said, you know what? It don't matter how many you got working or how many you got watching. Unless the Lord's on your side, you're going down. I know a lot of churches got too big for their britches. They forgot about the Lord and they started doing it and now they're just a memory. We want the Lord to build the house. Amen? And there's a declaration, lest the Lord build in your house, my house, and the church house, then our work's in vain, our watch in vain. But thirdly, look, our worry is in vain.
Now, simply he said this, and he says, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. In other words, he said, you can trust the Lord. There are some things that's gotten to bed with me at night that I should have never let them get in the bed with me. Things that hurt me and kept me up all night. Worrying ain't going to do nothing but make an old person out of you quick. And the Lord said, if you just trust me with it, your worrying's in vain, because he can handle anything and everything. And you know, that's easy preaching. It's hard living. When your baby's in the hospital, your daughter's in ICU, and your husband's got bad news, and your wife's got bad news, it's easy for me to stand up here and preach it to you, but how do I live it? But he said, I want to tell you something. If you'll trust the Lord, you can lay down and go to sleep at night. He said, he gives his beloved sleep. There's nothing like a good night's sleep. God has designed sleep to rest his children. You'll notice all through this Bible, when God really blessed somebody, he let them sleep. Sleep refreshes the body and the spirit. Have you ever heard old-timers say this, let me sleep on it? I don't know how much money I'd have saved in a life if I hadn't walked in a car dealership and signed the line, Brother Mike, and said, let me go home and sleep on it. Let me go home, take a handful of Tylenol, get over that fever. Somebody say amen right there. And so, the Bible says that the Lord gives His beloved sleep. Such a blessing to have peace with God that you can lay down and go to sleep. What's bothering you? The Lord would love to give you peace about it. There's a great, great declaration, except the Lord build the house, thy labor is in vain that build. I know a lot of good men has meant right, but the Lord wasn't in it. Listen to me, church. The Lord has got to be in it. I'm glad He's in it here. I'm glad He's been in things in my life. And so it's so important. There's a declaration. But in verse 3, I want to hurry and get to my sermon this morning. There's a proclamation. Now, all of a sudden, it goes from a sense of vanities to a sense of values. All of a sudden, it goes from battles to babies. All of a sudden, the Lord inserts this in verse number 3. There's a proclamation. He says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, a proclamation, children. I want to say this real briefly today. You know the story of Moses. There, Pharaoh had got it in for the children of Israel in Exodus chapter number 1. Matter of fact, the Bible said that the more that they were heard and the more that they were squashed, the bigger and the stronger that they got. And so all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, told all the midwives when they deliver, said, I want you to kill all the male children. Said, there's getting too many of these folks. And so the Bible said the midwives feared God, Brother Dwayne, and they would not kill those male children. And so Moses was born, and a midwife delivered, and Moses' mother, you know the story, put him in an ark, put him in the flags of the river, and Pharaoh's daughter came down to take a bath, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost pinched little old Moses, and he said, what? Wah. And her heart turned. Honey, I come to tell you this morning, there's a God in heaven can make even Pharaoh's daughter's heart turn toward His people. If God be for you, who can be against you? Just as good as our good God is. Somebody said, you want me to go get somebody to raise this little baby? She said, yeah. And he went. She went and got Moses' mother. Went into the kingdom of Pharaoh and raised up little boy. By minding the Lord, God saved her and blessed her. It may look bad when she put him in that river, but honey, when God brought him out of that river, things got to be picking up. Hey, the devil may have you in the river, but thank God one day he's going to have somebody to come by and pick us up. Amen. I want to say this about the story of Moses. And it'd do our nation good to hear this verse, that children are heritage from the Lord. Number one, don't abort your child. It's bad when America pulls out a child on the table and can see the heartbeat and kill that child and sell body parts around the nation. That's cruel, it's murder, and God is not pleased with America this morning. Don't abort your child. Number two, we see this a lot, don't abandon your child. Anybody can bring a child in the world, but you need to see about them. Abandon your child. I sure am glad I had a mom and daddy stuck with me. And let me tell you, everything ain't always happiness. But if you'll stay with the stuff, there will be blessing. I thank the Lord for grandchildren this morning. I wish I could have had them first. Somebody say amen right there. Now, the proclamation, little children, don't abort your child. Don't abandon your child. I want to say thirdly and lastly about that point. Don't abuse your child. So many little children are being abused in our country. It's sad that they've not chose to be abused. I thank God for the families that are reaching the children that want to be blessing. We have grandparents in our church raising grandchildren. Well, thank the Lord, somebody's a-raising them. And I don't pull no punches. I'm just glad somebody loves them. Amen. To take care of them. Now we'll read this right here. When God sends a child into this poor old wretched world, a wrong needs righting, or a truth needs preaching, or a benefit needs inventing. He sends a baby into this world to do it. Which is why 2,000 years ago, He sent a child to be born in Bethlehem. And therefore He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's our Savior. His earthly name is Jesus. His heavenly name is Emmanuel, Christ with us. I'm glad He is Christ with us, and we can be Christ in Him by the good grace of God this morning. Now, there is a declaration. There's a proclamation. But then notice there is an illustration. In verse number 4, look what the Bible says. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy or blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, I want to say first of all about this great illustration. The Bible said, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Now, I brought an illustration with me today. I can't preach every sermon on an illustration, but I sure do wish that I could. I want you to notice that the Lord said something, that the arrow's in the hand of a mighty man. I don't know if any of you know much about archery, but you don't throw arrows, you shoot arrows. And there's some illustrations that I'd like to give you this morning with a couple of thoughts about this thing of archery. Now, I'm going to say this today. If it meant enough to God to put it in our Bible, there must be an object lesson for me and you. God speaks of the ants and the honeybees and the axe head. But now God turns from that of battles to babies, and He set arrows in the hand of a mighty man or powerful. I want to talk first of all about the bow in the hand of the mighty man. Now, there's something about this thing of archery that you must learn. First of all, and I'm going to tell you, this thing of archery and the bow and its arrows has a lot to do with children and child raising. It's amazing. Some of you don't even know what this is. This is called a bow and arrow. Amen. Somebody said, you know, you come to a country church when your preacher gets out with his bow in his hand. Amen. But I'm going to tell you today, notice this arrows in the hand of a mighty man. First of all, this thing of a bow, you must learn how to hold the bow. Now, you're never going to be effective with a bow unless you learn how to hold it. Some hold it too tight, some hold it too loose. What you thought? I've seen a lot of families, Brother Mike. They were so hard and overbearing with their children, they had both hands death grip on it. And then when their children got up older and they got out in life, they didn't know what door to go in. They didn't know what song to sing in. You ought not be raising little robots. You ought to be raising children that have opportunities and have desires and have their own being. I've seen people so strict on children, they get out, walk like little soldiers. And I do believe in discipline, but honey, it's going to come a day that they're going to meet somebody that they like better than you, and they're going to leave. And when they leave your house, they better know what to do on their own. Be careful. Don't hold on too light. Let kids have a life. If you have a bird dog and you put him in a pen and you never get him out and train him and fool with him, and I tell you what you'll do, if you'll turn him loose, he'll run in the road and get run over every time. Some of y'all won't like this. Our German Shepherd got run over, and I called a woman in Atlanta. Hope she ain't listening to this sermon. She said, I'll give you our dog, but he's always been in a pen. I said, oh, I got a pen. I drove nearly all day the other side of Atlanta and got this pretty dog. Brought him back and I put him on a chain. Had a big collar on him. And I told Renee, I said, honey, I wonder if that dog's very aggressive. I wonder if he'll even bark. I wouldn't feed a dog, wouldn't bark. Somebody say amen. I put him on a collar. Brother Randall, I got my hunting coat put over my head. I started backing up toward him. Had me a hawk collar and I got to blowing that hawk collar. He run to the end of that chain. He got to the end of that chain. He didn't know what to do. And I started toward him. He broke out and run in the highway. And it wasn't real good for him. What are you saying? Somebody just throwed him in a pen, never had worked with him, didn't teach him what a highway was, what a car was, didn't know nothing about nothing. That reminds me of people, they put such a tight grip on their children, they can't let them be children. Your children need to have a life, they need to learn how to get along with others, and they just need to learn that you love them, but don't hold on too tight to them. Some of you, it's going to get quiet right here, your young'un's married, you think you're supposed to run that marriage, but you ain't. You need to back out of it and leave your nose down your house and let them sort all that out. Amen. I tell my children, y'all got issues, straighten them out. Me and Renee got enough of our own. Don't bring it up in here on us. Help me now. Help me. Be careful. You hold it way too tight. And then there's some people, they hold it too loose. And see, you can't shoot a bow if you hold it too loose. It'll get real wobbly in your hand. You got to learn how to hold the bow right. And then number two, something about archery. When I first started to shoot it, there are a lot of men in here that's really excelled in this thing of archery. But I noticed this. I wish Brother John Arp was here this morning. I began to look in the manual about archery, and I found the best manual that I know about this morning. Right here's your manual about being a great archer, about holding a bow and shooting arrows. Right here's the most precious manual that, hey, it beats the internet, amen. When my internet's down, I still got the Word of God, and it tells me how to hold my bow and raise my children. I like what Brother John told me about golf one day. Brother Jacob's in golf and he's doing well, one of our young church kids. This is what John Art told me about playing golf. He said, Ken, it don't matter how much you practice. If you practice wrong, you ain't never going to get no better. You got to learn to practice right. Can somebody help me this morning? And the only way we're going to learn to practice right is to get in that old King James Bible and study the Word of God and let it tell us how to hold our bow. I've noticed something else about this archer. He has something about shooting a bow. It's got to have a sight on it. And if you don't have a sight on it, you're not going to hit what you're shooting at. And they've got something come out a few years ago, really did help me. It's got a little bubble in the string called a peak sight. What you do when you pull that bow back, it gives you a narrow look on things. Some of y'all need to get a peep strap put on your string so to get you to focus down real good. Some of you are more focused on the ball games and the car races than you are to look out now. Than you are, I ought to brought me an arrow with me this morning. Than the house of God. Hallelujah. You see, this peep sight lets you narrow down on your sight, lets you focus real good. And then I got this thought this morning. Those of you like me that have a tendency, this sight's got a level in it. You know what it's used for? Brother Jerry, it's used so when I get it right there, I keep it level. Some of y'all ain't got level. Yeah, man. You need to get level-headed. Well, my kids in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot at 1 o'clock in the morning is having Bible study. Well, why ain't that the church? Hello, phone's ringing. Pick it up this morning. Hey, hey, are you crazy? You need to get level-headed. I was driving nearly 250 miles to date Miss Renee. I had to have her home at 10 o'clock. I thought it's so unfair. Till I married, raised young'uns, and had two girls. 10 o'clock's a little late. Somebody say amen, not that. Amen, Brother David. The movie, Miss Sherry's over at 9 o'clock. You done eat your popcorn, ate your $8 Coca-Cola, and get yourself home. You don't need to be at the Piggly Wiggly. Some of y'all need a level on your bow. I've noticed this something also about an archery. He must learn to judge distance. Now this bow has got yardage on it. I can push it right there and at 20 yards, if you'll hold it, it'll hit the bullseye every time. I can push it there to 30 and it works, but it only goes to 70. You see, the reason that you got to learn to judge yardage, a lot of you are trying to push your children way too far. You're trying to demand way too something out of them that God don't even demand out of you. You must learn to judge yardage. Can my child be driving right now? Just because she's 16 or he's 16, it don't mean they're ready to drive yet. You got to judge yardage. Y'all ever got mad, had road rage? Down yonder at Blossom Gas, I was coming down to church Friday night to the men's fellowship, and the road narrows. The red light was red, and cars was in front of me, and they probably wouldn't 100 yards. And here comes a woman. She had a poodle dog on her steering wheel. And I'm sure she is sending a text too. I said, well, Lord, honey, it got down there. I said, I'm just going to hold my spot right here in the road. Make you look crazy, amen. People's crazy. And just because she turned 16 don't mean she's ready to drive. Just because he turned 16 don't mean that he's ready to get out on his own. You got to learn to judge yardage. Let me tell you, don't expect more out of your children than what God expects out of you. And I want to say this before I get to the arrows this morning. It's something about this sight right here. If you don't have your sight adjusted right, you're not going to hit the target. A lot of you saying, boy, I want them to have a good education. And instead of raising up, it's what you're doing. You're getting real low. I love education. Wish I had more. And everybody needs education. But let me tell you something. When they laying in a coffin, their education's gone. They better have salvation. You better be aiming your sights higher than what you're aiming them and get in that peep sight and narrow your focus down and realize it don't matter if they're the most successful one on the ball field or the cheerleading squad. Do they know Jesus? Do they know Jesus? And Brother Mark, I had this thought about the bow today as I was coming, and I wasn't going to use that at all. But I wanna use this. We have what we call a range finder. It's amazing what technology do. You can punch that thing, and it's amazing. Brother Jake's sitting there only 10 yards from me right now. Some of y'all better get in your Bible and get a hold of the range finder, because it's got the best sonar known unto man. It's the greatest compass. It knows the yardage. It knows everything about everything. And then there's a release. This thing's amazing. You know what that is? It's a gun trigger for a bow and arrow. You put this thing on your wrist and it's something they'll teach you. Once you lock the jaws on it, reminds me of a Baptist get their jaws locked. This is what they teach you about this release right here. First thing they ever taught. They say when you put this on the string and you close that trigger, when you're drawing that bow, always put that trigger finger behind the trigger. If not, you know why? It may go off too quick. You may hit it unintentionally and send an arrow someplace that you shouldn't have seen it. In other words, you never touch this trigger finger, unless you sure you've got your bow and your arrow on the target. A lot of people has released them too quick. Oh, they can handle that. They can't handle that. You couldn't handle it. What makes you think your young'uns can handle it? Amen? All right, enough of this. I want to get to the sermon. Now, I want to say something right here. The Bible said, a man, the arrows in the mighty hand, but then he talks about these arrows that are in his quiver. Now, he says, a man that has his quiver full of them is blessed. You know, this is what some of you young'uns not going to realize right now, but some of us older can be. And this is the Lord's truth right here. Sometimes I get so discouraged and so tired in meetings and life, but when I pull in and I look at them little grand young'uns walking out across the yard, and as soon as I get out of that Suburban, they come running. Pop! Like they ain't seen me for 4 years. Pop! Renee walked in down there in the house and they holler, Mimi! Well, Lord, it just light. I mean, she just took a full tranquilizer. Amen? And right now, your child raising may be difficult, but he said, listen, blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. Now, I want to say something now, first of all, about this thing of archery. The person with the bow, he's got to learn to master himself before he can master archery. You've got to learn to master yourself before you'll ever be very effective at child raising. Now, I want to show a few things about these arrows right here. I've noticed this about arrows. The more you use them, the more the head gets loose. Sometimes you got to stop them, tighten their head up. Y'all easier preach to over here. Some of y'all just look like a calf in a new gate. Like our preachers done got so gimmicky, he's quit preaching. We're going to deer hunting. Amen. But I'll notice this. If I don't take time to tighten up that head on this shaft, it ain't going to fly right. Little Parker, you know, he's all boy. I love him. 5 years old. He wears his little Carhartt overhauls and his Brogan shoes, and he's all boy. And sometimes Parker come in and do something, it's what I say. Boy, what you thinking? What you thinking? Sometimes you got to stop and get the head screwed on right. I don't know what some of y'all thinking. What you thinking? Turn around and somebody say, what you thinking? Turn around and say, what you thinking? What you thinking? You see, it takes time to be sure to get their head screwed on right. Let me tell you what, if you're just always pouring sports and you're pouring the world in them, don't think it's strange if they turn out in the world. It's got to be a balance. A systematic, daily appetite and diet of the Bible and prayer life and worship and fellowship. I wish I could have been raised in a ministry like this from 12, 13, 15-year-old. I got around the wrong crowd. My mom and daddy turned me loose. They wouldn't take in time to get my head screwed on right. Number two, not only does this arrow fly right when the head is screwed on right, but I've noticed this, you've got to learn to adjust the feathers. Now, right here, they call this fletching the feathers. Nearly off of this, it's not going to fly too good. You say, why this? Now, hold on with me right here. Some of you tree huggers ain't going to like this morning. But the thing about an arrow as a child, not only has the head got to be tightened and adjusted, but the back end's got to be adjusted. You know, when I was 11, 10, I didn't have the privilege of calling the shots at my house. This right here, you say, well, preacher, now what kind of Bible you got there? Turn with us in the book of Proverbs this morning, and I want to show you something about this adjustment on the backside. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You see, sometimes the back end of this arrow's got to be adjusted. This time out ain't working for America. My daddy'd take time out. He'd take time out to tear the back porch down with you. You say, well, that don't work. It worked in my house. We could be in church. We had them old pine floors. Me and my little cousin be cutting up, and I'd hear that pine floor pop, and I'd say, oh, no, that's my daddy. And my daddy didn't talk to me when I got in trouble. He talked to me when I wasn't in trouble. And I understand sometimes you've got to talk. Don't abuse your children. That rod's not a stick or a cane that you beat them down and beat the brakes off of them. But you got to discipline your children. Sometimes the feathers, the back side of this arrow's got to be adjusted. And then I've noticed this about these arrows. Sometimes they get crooked. If they're crooked, they don't fly right. I like what one of the old timers said when they was making arrows from green limbs. They would apply pressure over their knee and they'd hold it a little bit until it took shape. Boy, my daddy knowed how to make you take shape. And then I want to tell you something and I'm closing. A lot of you done got way more preaching than you come down here to get. This is what I noticed. I went to the bow shop the other week and I got a new peep put in my string. You know why? Brother Gerald, my other one was too big And when I looked in it, I seen everything everywhere. But when they put that little peep in, it pulled me down. I was only seeing the target. And I noticed this, when I pulled that peep back, and I couldn't see through it. They didn't have it right. It's got to line up with your eye. And I let this arrow go. You know what I done? I missed the target and it stuck up in my barn. I'm glad Miss Renee wasn't out there reading her Bible. Somebody said, I had to take wire pliers and pull it out, replace the head on it, used it again. And then I noticed this, and if you could get anything from this sermon on this arrow this morning, I wish you'd think about this right. Your child is this arrow. You got to keep its head on right. You got to be sure it's straightened out. You got to be sure the backside of it is adjusted. But this arrow, you listen to your preacher this morning, it only goes every time where it's shot. It don't go that way if I point it this way. Let me tell you, because your children will turn out right, it won't be because of haphazard home life. It's hard enough to let children turn out raised right. But I'll guarantee you this, if you don't aim at something, you'll never hit nothing. Pull your focus down and realize that God has entrusted you with children, with arrows, and arrows in the hand of a mighty man are a blessing. I know Brother Jake caught this, and some men with me Friday night out back. There was an arrow with us Friday night. It's been in the hands of purpose. Did you see that arrow reach over when Brother Jake sat down on the front and hugged him and patted him on the back and said, good preaching? Did you men see that? You know why that arrow did that way? Because it shot in that direction. You know the way some of your children, the reason they're such a blessing to people? Because they've been shot in that direction. They're listening. They're our church today and tomorrow. And I thank the Lord that a man that hath his quiver full of them is blessed. There's nothing in the world I'd take from my children and grandchildren. There's nothing. Nothing could ever replace them. And so we come down to this part of our service to where we dedicate the Lord. And you say, well, Pastor, where do we get dedicating our children to the Lord? And I want to say this before I forget it. This declaration, this proclamation, this illustration, this celebration. You know, 3 John verse number 4 said this, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walking in truth. The older you get, I tell you what will really help you in your life is to see your children walking in truth. And to some of you, some are way out that right now. But let me tell you, God's not done yet. And you just trust Him through the situation. Now, if Miss Sherry come, I'd appreciate it. As Hannah...